Arius per Gimel Mishnah Yud 3:10. Now the Mishnah will enumerate three areas that pertain to Hilchos Yom Tov, that Rabban Gamliel was the Machmir and the Halacha Beit Chacham Lakula leniently. This actually is a Mishnah in Beitza Perek Beis Mishnah Vav. The Mishnah says Shlosha Devarim Rabban Gamliel Machmir Kedivrei Beis Shammai. There are three matters regarding Hilchos Yom Tov where Rabban Gamliel the Nasi was strict like Beis Shammai. This is especially interesting in as much as Rabban Gamliel was the grandson of Rabban Gamliel Hazaken, who was the grandson of Hillel Hazaken, Hillel himself. Nevertheless, Rabban Gamliel, who was from the Hillel line and was the Nasi, he was strict in three areas like Beis Shammai. The first is Ein Tomnenes Achamin Miyom Tov L'Shabbos. You're not allowed to simply insulate on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. The issue here is as follows. On Shabbos, of course, you cannot cook. On Yom Tov, you can cook, but only for Yom Tov. You can't cook on Yom Tov for the day after Yom Tov, even if the day after Yom Tov is Shabbos. Now, of course, if you don't cook for Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, because it's Yom Tov, you'll be stuck. So therefore, the rabbi said you could cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, if it's the day before Shabbos, provided that before Yom Tov comes in, you start the process. I'm creating what's called the Erev Tavshilin, which essentially means you started your preparation ahead of time, so it wasn't like you left it for the last minute. And as we do it today, Erev Tavshilin includes one item that you cooked with dry heat, afia, and one you cooked in water, bishel. So the typical Erev Tavshilin today involves bread and boiled eggs. That's just examples, but that's how typically done. Now, that, according to Beis Hill, will cover all your cooking needs, if you will, that happen on Erev Shabbos, which is Yom Tov. Beis Shammai hold no, hatmana, insulation, is a separate issue altogether. The rabbis forbade hatmana on Shabbos itself. The reasons why are either because it looks like you're cooking or it might come to stoke coals. Whatever the case is, we're saying here that you can't do hatmana on Yom Tov for Shabbos unless you did it as an additional element of your Erev Tavshilin. So again, the halacha, like Beis Hillel, if you just do a cooked and baked item, that's enough to cover hatmana as well. Beis Shammai said no, hatmana is separate. You have to do a separate hatmana on the day prior to Yom Tov to do it on Yom Tov for Shabbos. So that's the first case over here. The second case is ve'ein zokfen es hamenorah beYom Tov. You can't assemble the disparate pieces of like a candle holder menorah, like a lamp, on Yom Tov. The issue is that of course on Shabbos you can't play around with menorahs, lamps, because you can't light anything on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you could light a candle from an existing flame. If you have a menorah to build one, though, so Beis Hillel will say, if you're talking about, essentially think of it as like blocks you put together, like it's where your traveling candle set, it disassembles or reassembles. That's what it's designed to do. If it broke apart, that's not considered debroken. If you put it back together, it's not considered fixing it. That's just how it assembles, reassembles. And so therefore it's okay. Beis Shammai hold no, there's a problem here of the malacha called bona, construction. Beis Shammai hold there's binyan with kalim. You can do construction with kalim utensils also. So what's happening here essentially is you're building this out of disparate parts. You're putting together these separate units that build together to make this lamp, candle holder. And therefore it's Asr and Shabbos because the bona says Beis Shammai, and Rabban Gamliel was strictly like that as well. Halacha b'alek Beis Hillel, of course, that's mutter, because ein binyan mekelim. And the third is ve'ein ofen pitin gritzin ela rakikin. Now, literally, this means you can't bake thick loaves of bread. You have to only make thin, kind of wafery, crackery types of bread. The issue here isn't really about how the bread is shaped, if you will, but the quantity of bread you're making. And the issue here is tircha of excessive exertion on Yom Tov. In general, while you're allowed to cook to eat on Yom Tov, that's permitted. Tircha yisera, excessive exertion, is not permitted. And the point here is that not just that it's more work to knead a thick dough than a thin dough, which it is, but also here, implicit in the point of having this pitz and gritz in the big loaves of bread, is that you're actually going to have leftover bread for after Yom Tov. So Beis Shammai say you can't do that because there's just too much work involved, and you end up doing work for after Yom Tov, it's forbidden. And Rabban Gamliel agree with them on that point, Beis Shammai on that point. Beis Hillel in the halacha, however, says, listen, it's true that you won't eat all the bread on Yom Tov, but the bread will taste much better if it's cooked in an oven that's full of loaves of bread and they cook together. So even though you won't eat all the bread on Yom Tov, the fact that all the breads are being cooked together will make the quality of your bread on Yom Tov better. And that's not called tirchi yaseh, it's not called exertion for no good reasons, for great reasons. You can have delicious challahs. So therefore, even though it's extra work and it's going to be used after Yom Tov in part, you're getting benefit on Yom Tov in terms of quality of taste, and that's good enough to make it permitted on Yom Tov if you want to do that. And that's the Beis Hillel's position, not like Rabbi Gamliel. On this last point, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, miyamein shel Beis Abba, he says, the whole history of my family's tradition. He again is he's a Nasi, the son of a Nasi, the son of a Nasi, and so on. Lo hayu ofen pitin gritzin el rakikin. We never once, you know, my father, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he was like the last of the Nasiim before the Chorban. He was one of the Sarhur Gemalchus. And he and his household, they never once made big loaves of bread. And Yom Tov, he only had like the thin, smaller quantity, the crackery types. Amrulo, but the rabbi said to Rabbi Gamliel, Uma na'ase leveis avicha, like, that's okay, that might be true, but that's not relevant, but it means nothing to us. Shehayu machmir al atzman. Yeah, they didn't ever have, you know, fresh loaves of, you know, the puffy bread that they made on Yom Tov, but that's because they were strict upon themselves. Umakilin al yisrael leos ofen pitin gritzin v'chori. But they let other people make big loaves of bread and lots of extra work. That wasn't a problem. In other words, they were strict on themselves because they were pious, but they were lenient on others because they were good leaders who understood that that was mikra didn't permit it and they didn't want to restrict people. The Mishnah says they would let people not only make pit and gritz and the big loaves of bread, but also chori. Chori is something else. Chori, essentially, the word chor is like a hole, like a hole in the ground. That is, this is bread that's made on coals in a hole in the ground. You might love it, and I guess people did love it, and they want it special for Yom Tov. The problem is it's quite a lot of work. You have to keep on essentially fanning the coal. You have to keep the fire going so you can cook the bread that's cooking on the coals in the hole in the ground. And that being the case, it's a lot of work. And nevertheless, the point that the rabbi is saying here is that the tradition of the Nasi himself, from Shmuel, was that he would permit the other rest of Klal Yisrael to do even chori, this hard work bread as well. Halach in all these cases will be not like Rabban Gamliel, but rather like the Chachamim.